Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
Show number 1,428. Welcome. As you get ready to sit down and get down with the chefs for a couple of hours, courtesy of your loving mad scientist here at Sultry Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram. As always, it is good to be with you. Sultry Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia, D. Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Cheryl Jones in Philadelphia. Cheryl, blessings to you with the ascension of your angel. Ricky Anthony Sr. in Detroit, Mike Robeson in Oakland, California. Pat Freeman at Mighty Oba, doing this thing in Western New York, working his book, You Ought to Be Interviewed, Book 1. Great read. It's available on Amazon. I highly suggest it. And, of course, the rest of the brethren, when they chime in. With me, as always, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What's up, G?
I got so many bones in this fish, I can't eat it.
I heard that.
Michael, before we do that.
Yes, sir.
Gage, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique beings, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
Yes, indeed. What's on your mind, G?
Now, let me start from the beginning. Last week, Simone Biles, and as he was not gonna compete. Right?
Mm-hmm.
These conservatives, you know what, were all out of their minds.
Yep.
They lost their minds, Michael. They were losing her all week long because he out there, not compete for the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
People forget that about 8 and 12 years ago, the young lady from Russia had bent her knee up. Sprained her knee or wrenched her knee.
Mm-hmm.
Russian Federation said, you are going to do the routine.
That's right.
That young lady got paralyzed and died 26 years later. See, these clowns don't care what your physical ability will be.
No,
all they want to do is get that gold and be on TV. As Simone Biles, I commend you. I salute you for doing what you did for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. Afraid of Russell Westbrook, Washington, D.C., to the LA Lakers, by management, you've already geared up for LA Laker, New York, Brooklyn championship.
You might be right.
Unless I forget, about 5, 6 years, 10 years ago, when LeBron James went to Miami, what they say? We can't stand super teams. Guess what? You're doing it by yourself. You can't have a way.
Mm-hmm.
number, last comment. Is it Jamaican ladies? 100-yard dash?
Yep.
And Americans are losing their minds because Jamaica beat them. The world is getting better, folks. That's all, and the world's getting better.
Well, you're right about that. And to address, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm done.
Well, to address the three things that you brought up, you knew they were going after Simone's black ass. You knew it. And I heard that baller suet, Jason Hamhock, trash her. And what did I say? Somebody will say quit before they say, you know, anything respecting her situation. And that's exactly what he did. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait. He jumped in with both hooks. He jumped in and said straight up, yeah, she failed America. Fuck you, Jason, and fuck anybody else that thinks that way too, for that matter. Yeah. So the second thing that you put down, Russell Westbrook has been maligned for years, and it all started when that shithead Skip Bayless probably sounds better, but when Skip Bayless started talking about him and attacking him personally, it led to other people talking him personally. And I'm talking about fans. You know, or at least a couple of occasions where Russell should have whipped somebody's ass, but you know he couldn't because of images. But now that he's with the brow and the cash cow, I think he will go through the NBA pasture and come home with a trophy.
Yeah.
So the third point. All I can tell you is that we see the ugly side of what's supposed to be journalism. There is none now. There's going to be the wait and see until you get to a certain point, and then there will be attacks. I mean venom attacks. You know, shit that's got nothing to do with the sport. There should have been a flag, a big flag, put up after that scumbag nigga Nolan Nowarki wrote that piece about Cam Newton in analyzing whether he was first round material in the 2011 draft. Somebody should have said right then and there, that's it. Put a wrap on this shit. We're not talking about fucking football. This was a personalized attack. And what did they do? They rewarded them. The NFL rewarded them with a motherfucking job.
A job.
Exactly. Now, we know there are players that weren't shit, but if you look at the analysis of, let's say, Johnny Manziel
and the money sign, yes,
to Cam Newton and their assessment of abilities, we have every reason to believe that anybody who did that analysis for Cam Newton is full of shit. And you have every reason to believe that everybody that analyzed Johnny Manziel was also full of shit. They played, as Tony likes to say, they fell back on their whiteness. So how dare we say anything about this poor white boy? And the fact that he did what he did. Connie Hawkins, the great Connie Hawkins, got co-opted in his career situation because of something alleged. Never proven. Alleged. Yep. Johnny Manziel stuck his finger at the NCAA, told them to kiss his lily white ass, metaphorically, and they said, well, now, Johnny, that's just not cricket. We are going to fine you for one quarter. And don't you ever do it again. One motherfucking quarter. We saw Des Bryant lose his senior year over a motherfucking sandwich. See, it's too many times where they show their obvious teeth. And this is another factor regarding journalism and the lack of. You don't have that anymore. And even outside of sports, you don't have it. I want to, as Tony likes to say, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back. But we said years ago, that what was done on January 6th was the completion of an attempted coup.
Yep.
Attempted coup. You know,
yep.
We said for years, we talked about Trump and the shit he did during the election. Lying. He told, well, the only thing he said the truth to was that he was going to cheat. He told everybody he was going to cheat. And he did. And now everybody's acting like they are so fucking surprised when they find out that he took down mail sorting machines, that he tried to redistrict certain things, that he tried to call people and say, yo, can you hook a brother up with about 12,000 votes? You know, I got a thing going on here. He did all of that shit. And everybody wants to pretend that it never happened. We got Radio Reggie here. Reggie, what's up?
Gentlemen, peace and blessings, Deacons for Defensive Justice, just flying back from the NEAC Media Day and open their arms are tied. What can I say? But I just want to say that it's really sad that we see the bullshit that's going on social media and those star-ass individuals that take umbrage in attacking a black female, but yet they want to sit up here and push the idea that you shouldn't wear a mask while the numbers are going up. And, oh, by the way, Mike, you've been overseas. A couple of brothers, last time I checked, when you go overseas, you have to take your vaccination shot. Am I right, Mike?
You're right. Right is right.
So, you know, Big G, it's amazing to me that we've been taking vaccinations all these years. But how an individual with a third-grade education, a white supremacist, 45, can have so many people take the wound off of racism and show how many people are so damn stupid and so ignorant, they will do any and everything to try to keep power. Can we help a brother out? Did I miss something?
Hey, but, Michael, Reggie, I'm telling you, this is going to blow up. And the reason why this is going to blow up is because in 1954, 55, with the polio vaccine,
yep.
They did exactly the same thing. The numbers here right now, they did back in 54, 55.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, and if I ever, and they didn't tell you this, what happened was, 13 kids in the Congress, congressional children,
mm-hmm,
got polio. And okay, now our kids are getting polio. We gotta put this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
So they told people, that's it. We're doing a polio vaccine. I don't care what you say, we're doing it anyway. Polio was wiped out. 1962, wiped out.
Gary, I'm glad you said that. And we got Tony McClain in the mix. Because when poliomyelitis got to the point it did, where it's taking so many white kids out the box,
that's right.
That was the only impetus needed to create a vaccine. You didn't give a fuck if black kids died from it. As a matter of fact, I would contend that fewer black kids died from it than white ones, but what do I know?
That's still up in the air. I'll say
in America, far more white kids were affected by it than black ones, for sure. And we know about Wilma Rudolph getting in, how she was able to work her way through it. But make no bones about this. They have taken the lid off of everything. As far as track is concerned, as far as sports is concerned, we already know there's a threshold. They will allow for a certain levels of effort to be rewarded until it goes past their tolerated point. And then they will attack. You have an athlete. Forget about ethnicity. Yeah, the motherfucking cops are after my ass now. But forget about her ethnicity. On paper, she has won 7 times the award activity. Yeah, I know. See, you don't want to hear the truth. That's why you say you're after the moment. Okay, that's okay. 7 times she won the award for best at what she did. You know, do you need to put little goat icons next to her eating grass and shit? She knew she was the best, and everybody else knew she was the best. And on the eve of maybe putting a cherry on top of one of the greatest careers in all of sport, something happened. And it was something that delighted, and as Tony said, gave bonus to some people, because now they had an avenue of attack. And to some others, they had to re-steal their resolve along with Simone to say, baby, don't worry about it. We know you're the best.
Yeah, you guys, that's what we have here.
Tony, what do you say?
Oh, absolutely. And I think what our buddy Eric Satterwhite was alluding to on our last show is definitely a factor. As well, and it's so funny because no one, you know, when that actual story hit years ago, a few years back, it ran its quote unquote course, and you know people got their moments with it, and in people's eyes, you know, it brings awareness to the whatever. And which basically means that when something else more scandalous came up, it got put to the side. But see, if you really don't think that that's not a factor in all of this, it just shows me that you're not paying attention, but most importantly, it just lets me know that you're just a terrible and lazy journalist. And oh, by the way, Mike, they're more after me than they are after you. So, you know, don't feel too bad about it. But yeah, it's you know, now this story sadly will get its, you know, they'll get their pound and a half of flesh off of it. But then we'll go right to something else. Now, I will say this. I think what this may do is it may answer and may even open up something for other athletes down the road in the sense of their mental health. Because I don't know if you guys have saw Terry Francona is
I remember Terry.
From the Cleveland Indians for the rest of this year, and he cited physical whatever. You know, the only other time that I can remember a story like this that got some legs, and even then it was ridiculed. You know, and I'm sure you remember, Mike, when Dick Vermeil resigned from the Eagles, literally, and that he was burnt out, and you know, it took him almost 2-3 decades before he got another job down the road. See, my contention is, I think this happens. I think this is something that has been prevalent in the athletic world, college, pro, amateur, or whatever, for years.
Yep.
But there's, you know, there's this whole, you know, grown men ain't supposed to cry and women are too emotional and all
You're
the
right.
other stuff. And it's never given its proper context. And I would like to think that on the heels of Naomi and Simone, and I'll throw in Francona as well, that people would start to take more stock into them. But given the history, they won't. They won't. They're gonna be ridiculed. I'm sure. The next person that even implies that she quit on the team. Because see, here's the thing. Have you seen any of her teammates speak out against her?
Not one syllable.
Nope.
Yeah.
They all support her.
And see, you don't have to be, we're all, now we got about a zillion years of experience, in the media. And I always tell folks, the only difference between myself, ourselves, and other people that may not be in the media is maybe an awareness and more access to certain things. But the one thing you always have to look at is just on a common sense level. There's certain things you don't have to be a journalist to see how things play
exactly.
out. Because my thing's always, not to go too far off, but I think it's all related.
Yes,
the hate that is heaped upon Barry Lamar Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know the media has never, the media has never been whatever with him, and he's never been with them. And a lot of it has to, it's well documented that he vividly remembers the stuff that his dad went through.
That's right.
And
rightfully so, in my opinion.
And he always said, that's never going to happen to me. Now, here's the funny, and he used that as his fuel to put up that, put up that
yes.
shit, to put
yes.
up that
that's
star
right.
All of his career. Now, there was another athlete in that same era who was doing the same sort of things, but he had a different personality, and he was, he was applauded for being the quote unquote anti Barry, and that of course
yep.
is one Ken Griffey Jr.
Yep.
But here's the thing: when Griff got drafted, when he was number one overall pick in the baseball draft, he was 17, 18
yep.
years old, and he talks about dealing with all, he had suicidal thoughts. He dealt with racism in those early years in the minors, and he talked about it, but people were quote unquote sympathetic to his story, because he's a good guy,
Yep.
And what's so bothersome is that, and I think we're all sort of guilty of it too. I don't think as much as the white media, but the thing is, there always has to be a good guy and a bad guy, and there always has to be a good girl and a bad girl. We start with Tyson and Holyfield. Tyson is the thug, and Holyfield is the God-fearing man, even though he's got more kids than Bob and Bathsheba had in the frickin' Bible.
Hello.
Now,
T, there you go throwing facts in, T. Now, there you go again.
Well,
How dare you, T?
I just served up another meatball to Reg, but that's, that goes really good.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. I get it.
But, it's even like with, Chris Evert and Martina Navratilova, they both have to have, you have to have a good guy and a bad guy, or a good girl and a bad girl. But when you constantly do that, you're not reporting anymore. You're already making judgments. In regard to that, and you're missing the story. Now,
yeah,
all told, Olympic BS. You know, you get the flag waving, you get the whole whatever. I mean, the last part of the Olympics that I actually watched, I watched the opening ceremony. I always try to watch the opening ceremonies if I can. And I tried to watch it on a different network, but, you know, no one else had it on. So I had this. So I was forced to watch it on NBC. And they literally turned, like, you know, when the U.S. team was about to come in, they literally turned it into an MTV video with The Rock sort of introducing, introducing the U.S. team. Now, you know, we're used to the whole bullshit jingoism or whatever, but I always say you never try to be surprised, or you never try to be like, you know, okay, you never try to be too over appalled with two P's or what have you.
Yeah.
But even this was sort of like, what the hell was that all about?
We have a situation where journalists are weaponized.
Yes, sir.
Just as Gary ran off those three subjects. Tony, you've been in meetings. You've done things as an editor. Everybody knows. Okay, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to write about? All right, topic A, Simone. So their mindset, I'm speaking editor's mindset, correct me if I'm wrong, is what else can we get out of this? How many other ways can we pursue this? You know, if we like Simone, we can be sympathetic. But if we don't, we can roast her black ass by saying more shit about how she failed. And you know, the more successes there are, the greater the possibility of riding that fail for as long and as hard as you can. That was the mouse's modus operandi ever since these motherfuckers made their first scene in 1979.
Mike, I know you're on a roll about something.
Hold on, Reg.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Goes back, and even though this is a fictional movie, it's still rising to the core. The Robert Duvall character in The Natural.
Yes, the fist in The Natural. Sports writer.
Yeah, that guy or gal has existed for years in the sense of I can make you or I can break you. Now remember, on the whole thing of it, Hobbs wasn't doing anything bad. Their eyes, it's like, well, you know, he ain't supposed to be all that good or what have you. Now, mind you, this is white on white. So you can imagine if there was a melanated face added to that. And you know, let's face it, this was clearly pre Jackie Robinson. So that wasn't even a factor.
This was,
you know what?
I'm glad you said that, Tony. The Natural was written, I believe, in the early 30s or early 50s. I have to always double check that.
It was definitely a period piece. And even in the whole deal of the movie, which they didn't do directly from the book, because if you remember, Roy Hobbs dies in
He not only died,
book.
He struck out in the big moment. In the moment where the ball is going over the fence and hitting the stanchion and sparks and all that old horse shit and that Hollywood garbage, Hobbs struck the fuck out. But, of course, he's white, so we can't have him be looked at as a failure. So he hits the home run, and they're playing catch, and everybody lives happily ever after. Amen. Fuck that noise. But this is weaponization. This is why they did it the way they did it. And it's not just sports. I mean, we saw a good book, The Color Purple, demonized and weaponized. As Alice Walker sold them the rights to the book, they changed the whole ending to fuck up and excoriate black men even more. And I know that there were people who saw the book, or rather, who saw the movie and read the book, and they knew there were two different endings, and it did not bother them because it was all horseshit. Artistic license is what they say.
Right. That's my point when it comes to Olympics. You got a young lady that's a Goldie in water polo from Princeton University. She's
right.
the baddest Goldie in the world. But do they talk
mm-hmm.
about that? No, no.
Oh.
They make sure they don't even give her even 30 seconds.
Don't talk about
but,
if she loses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, that's my point. What was the girl named Vivian something? The late women's soccer team that was a badass Goldie? And then when they met the little
Yeah.
And then when the spoiled little brat, little white supremacist racist doesn't get her shot and she's pouting on the team and causing unsettling.
Think about
by the way, this is the same person that had assault charge, but they didn't talk about that, Holly.
Yeah, and that's Hope Solo. Think about it, Reg. There are more people that know about Hope Solo who didn't win shit.
Thank you.
One gold medal, one world champion as well. But see, again, now if we dare to bring that up, then be like, are you playing the race card?
That bitch was
no, I'm playing the whole fucking deck. I ain't playing the card.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing the whole fucking deck.
Yeah. And see, mm-hmm. the most ironic thing was now to use Hope Solo into today. Now one of the things she did was she basically turned into Don Cherry by calling the Swedish national team, chicken Swedes, when they played them. And oh, by the way, the first game of the Olympics this year, was it Sweden? Sweden shut out the
3-0.
3-0. 3-0. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And 3-0. 3-0 is a blowout in soccer for the
that's right.
Most part. But see again,
that's an ass of major proportions.
And by the way, if you remember, Hope was married to a former black former football player.
Jeremy Stevens, I believe, played at the University of Washington, tight end for Seahawks,
and on that Seattle Seahawks team that.
They got screwed out of their Super Bowl. Was it Michael Jackson's touchdown that was brought back?
I forget. I think it was both of them.
It was the first one they caught where the touchdown should have been counted as 82. Caught the ball. His name I forget, but I remember
it was
82.
That was Michael Jackson.
Okay, so that was bad enough. And then the second one when they called the bullshit penalty. After Stevens made a nice play to get them in the red zone.
They say he made a pick. I was like, really?
I was like,
Michael Irvin's been doing that for years, and all of a sudden.
Exactly. Listen, they knew what the fuck they were doing. I bet you Jerome Bettis probably had somebody make a bet for him because he probably knew there was no way they were going to allow Pittsburgh to lose that game.
Yeah.
If they count Seattle's scores, which were legitimate scores.
Well, they had 2 touchdowns taken away from them.
Oh, yeah. They had at least 7 points taken away from them, at least. And we know what else happened after that. So the whole point was this made us fall into the monolith that we believe that, and actually that Bernie Parrish wrote about in 1971 that the Super Bowl was the WWE squared. That scenarios for certain teams to win were in the books. Jerome and the Bus surviving and winning that. He walks out a champion. Oh, for whatever. He must have been listed as a good guy. They allowed it. But every other Super Bowl, you got to think about what happened. You got to think about Jimmy Orr waving his fucking hand, waiting for somebody to throw him the goddamn ball because they knew it was supposed to come his way. He is wide fucking open. And he never got the ball. He never got the ball because they weren't going to throw it to him. They looked to the other side of the field, and another pick is thrown. And John Facenda probably would have changed his dialogue and said, "What the fuck is going on here?" Instead of whatever the dialogue was, because he knew. Fix was in. So to go to the second subject that Gary brought up, Russell Westbrook has been a dominant player ever since he came into the league. Whether he was used right or used wrong, it doesn't matter. He's always put up numbers. He's always played hard. He's always been durable. But yet, he got weaponized.
The reason why I brought it up is because when the players create a super team, they're upset. They lose their mind when players play super teams.
Right.
But when an owner does it, it's okay. I.e., the Boston Celtics won the championship with a super team.
Yes, they did.
That was okay.
It's the concept of a super team, G. You know, you had Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett.
Yep.
Three good players who together became a nucleus of a great team. And they won a championship because of it. See, they weren't afraid of that. But because the cash cow went down to Miami. That's right. And he took Wade and Bosch with him. They knew it was just a matter of time before he would get that chip. And he got a couple. So he comes back to Cleveland, gives them one. And I don't think the fans have yet to say thank you. And now he's back in L.A. where he gets one. And now the Brow, who is running as this Robin to this Batman, now have another weapon in Westbrook, who was catching hell the last couple of seasons because he dare speak up and say something about how the news and the media were treating his ass. And that certain incidents and games.
Just one question. Is Russell, now is Russell Westbrook Green Lantern or is he Aquaman? That's
He can't be Green Lantern because he doesn't have a ring yet. So we'll go Aquaman.
That's true.
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Remember now, he's got to see now. See, Spider-Man is outside of the DC. So he's got to be a DC guy. So Stan Lee can't come in and give him Ray waivers right quick and let him go to the
No, he can't. No.
Although I will say this. This is just me talking.
Mm-hmm.
For this to work, you've got to get at least games from all three.
I would agree.
Here's the thing. The first thing that came to my mind when this happened, and first of all, I think the Wizards finally may if they get this right, I think they can build off of this because it's apparent now that they're going to build around Bradley Beal and with Kuzma and Caldwell Pope. They've got a nice little nucleus. I think if they play their cards right, they can do. But the first thing that came to mind when he went there was the whole load management thing. I understand why it's done and all that other stuff. But see, especially with a quote unquote big three, you've got to be able to put some time in. You don't want to still be. You know, working on a new flavor of Kool-Aid during the playoffs. At the very latest, the second half of the year, you want to know, LeBron needs to know where Russell wants to get the ball. The Brown needs to know where LeBron wants to get the ball. It needs to be second nature. And plus the fact they've got to add some other players because they gave up a, you know, they gave up a lot. Because, see, you know, right now their roster, on this day as of right now, it doesn't look too good. And see, let's face it, all three of them, two of them are on the other side of 30. I mean, it's not like a Kareem last year in the Lakers past his prime. But they've got to tread on their tires. And
yes,
have been putting in some time. Because, see, like I said, for this to really work, and matter of fact, that's our, if you go, shameless plug, if you go to the BASN Facebook page, our BASN Newsroom poll is where will the Lakers finish in 21-22? Will they miss the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Will they make the playoffs? Will they be Western Conference champions or will they be NBA champions? So go to at Soul of Sports on Facebook and answer the poll question. But it's a lot of things are gonna have to happen for this to work, title or bust for the Lakers or what? Because see, we've seen.
Right after the trade, okay, here we go. ESPN, but I don't watch it.
That's your first problem right there.
Yeah, anyway, this is why I fear the trade. Because what the news media is going to do is create a new one.
Gareth, you know this, and see, I've given up on trying to rehabilitate you and Reggie on watching the mouse. I throw my hands up because you know how they're going to play this. You know exactly how it's going to play out. You gotta stop falling for the banana in the tailpipe.
Exactly. Exactly. I think if there's anything,
you know how they're gonna play this, especially them being the pseudo Laker network in a sense, because again, I'm willing to bet you. None of the stuff that they talked about was about basketball, was it?
And again,
I didn't have to watch a minute of it to realize that, right?
Exactly. And this goes back to what the mouse used to do. They had their hit list of athletes, whether it was Terrell Owens or Chad Johnson or whoever the fuck it was. They always had somebody to go after. Later on, Serena Williams and all that. See, now, what I think will happen from this triumvirate of the brow, the cow, cash cow, that is, and Westbrook, is that they will probably lead the league in free throws made because of the type of players they are. Westbrook's a slasher. Yes, he can put up jump shots and whatnot, but he can still go to the hole. The brow has always been very effective inside, and, of course, the cow can go in or out with alacrity. So now they'll have more chances to overall go to the line. And if free throws really are free, then the Lakers should be one of the best shooting teams in the league in terms of capitalizing on fouls, errors, whatever you want to call it. And they should go to the line often because now they got three players who have a signature move. Remember what they said to Cam Newton when they told Cam, you ain't been in the league often enough or long enough to get the call when they knock you down to the white meat? Well, these brothers have been in the league. Yeah, these brothers have been in the league forever.
So anytime they go to the hoop, I should hear a whistle. And then maybe
I disagree because I truly believe the league has changed. And you know LeBron is the cash cow. I really truly believe they like the new blood that's coming in. And LeBron is on his way out.
They do, Reg. I know they do, Reg. I just think that because of the high-profile situation that has been bereft since Milwaukee won the title over Phoenix, I'm leaning toward what T-Mac is thinking, that they're setting this up for East Coast, West Coast, New York, L.A. throwdown.
Because they were going crazy, and they were going to do this, and out of due respect, when they try to set things up, they always fall apart.
I want to see, put this way, let me see the supporting cast first.
Thank you.
I got a supporting
cast right now. But they only got four people signed right now. And they got that big-ass luxury cap.
Right now, you know, again, the whole conceivable, if the season started tomorrow, they'd only have X amount of players. So you got to go. Four players.
What did Gene Hackman say? There's the team. There's the four people out there. Go play.
But see, you know, with something like this, and like I was just saying, for this to work, you're going to have to get, like, I think at least 70 games out of the three of them.
Right.
You're going to have to, at the very least. I'm saying, and 70 is probably, judicious. I mean, but let's put it this way. I think, but you'll put it this way, if you're looking at it just on paper value, people are going to want them. And to be quite honest with you, Reg, I think the winners, the true winners in this is going to be the Wizards, because I think the winners.
I agree.
I think, coming
from a Knicks fan, T, that's blasphemy.
Well, no.
Professor Wittig giving A&T credit when he coming from Winston Salem.
Well, even a broken clock has the right time twice a day. So, you know, as I think it was. I truly think that they're slowly building a decent team again down there in D.C.
Did Junior get the job?
Yes, he did.
See, that's what pisses me off, man. I mean, number one, there were a lot of established coaches out there, not necessarily retreads, but more experienced people. Now, if you want to get the hometown discount, which you know Ted DeAnsley got, you know, my thing is you could bring – and all I'm saying is they had West Unsure from the beginning. Okay, fine, you want to give him a shot. It's going to be more pressure on him now because of his late father, because he grew up in an organization. And my thing is, you know who I really want him to get? The young lady from the San Antonio Spurs. I know it would have been different, but I think with just the surrounding cast around her and three agents or whatever, they might be able to move forward.
But Reg, let's be 100. Who's going to have more pressure, her getting that job or Wes Unseld Jr.?
Say what now?
If everything is equal, who would have more pressure getting that job? Becky Hammon, who would be the first female NBA head coach in history, or Wes Unseld?
And a Becky to boot.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about, Unseld, here's the thing. Equal scale, both of them have been groomed to be head coaches.
Both of them
have put in their time as assistant coaches. Wes Unseld Jr. was given the hometown factor. Yeah, it's definitely a possibility, but also, let's put it this way. I think on the surface, with Wes Unseld, you could be getting another Mike Tomlin in the sense of a guy that has put in his time, an organization that is 100% behind him.
I get it
with the history. I understand it. Lord knows that team on 5th or 33rd has got a history that would make Alfalfa slap his mama.
Poor Alfalfa.
He should have used his left hand instead of his right hand. But
that's right.
Put it this way. I think there would be, me personally, I think there would have been more pressure if Becky takes that job. Now, I'm not saying she shouldn't deserve it. I'm just saying if the whole thing here is all about pressure, then the pressure would have been more so, I think it would have been 10-20-fold for Becky Hammon than it would be for Wes Unseld.
Great. And you know what I say? Welcome to the real world. Black folks been dealing with that for years.
Welcome to the real world. Sure. Like I said, the one thing, I will say this, and I'm not trying to, whatever here. Other than the Carlisle basically moving from the Midwest to the Midder West.
I couldn't believe that.
Talk about
white privilege.
But see, even with that, look at the other 7 jobs that were out there this year every one of them was filled by a former black assistant or either a first time, with the exception of Chauncey down in Portland, all of these guys that got hired were longtime assistants, paid their dues, and what have you. Now, to me, that sort of speaks more to the direction of where the NBA may be going. Now, I still think at some point Hammond will break the glass ceiling. It may not be right now. It may not. It may happen after if there's a maybe next year at this time when there will be more openings or what have you. Then maybe she will get there. But I think it does speak volumes in the NBA that. Even with Carlisle basically moving sideways, it shows, really? I think, if nothing else, some of these NBA folks realize what the hell's going on, because you look at,
the Atlanta Hawks.
look at Monty Williams. Now, granted, Phoenix got beat. But see, Monty Williams, former ball player, for the NBA, so he knows the league.
Hey, T, was he the one that the wife died in a tragic car accident?
Was that his wife was killed. When he was in New Orleans, because that's where his relationship with Chris Paul goes back to, because he was he was the assistant. In fact, he played his last year of playing. And then he transitioned into a coach, and then his wife was tragically killed in a motorcycle accident. I mean, a car accident, and he had to take time off and what have you. But the thing is, for all the bashing that the NBA gets, these hires this past off season really, to me, was a
thank you.
Eye opener. Gary, keep that dollar, because we're gonna need it for the Mets pitching staff. So
I knew a Mets shot would be in there somewhere. I knew somewhere T would take a shot of it. I knew it.
But you know what? Tony's right. I think that the fact that the NBA has taken their hiring practices to another level will make it inevitable that the first female coach of a male team will be the NBA. I don't see baseball doing it. I don't see football doing it. Well, they'll token something here and there, but they're not going to really put their heart and soul into it. And hockey's not going to do it either, although hockey has a couple of credible people there as well. No, the NBA did it because the NBA is out in front. Their so-called report card that Dr. Lapchick does every year, they're still, even in an off year, they're still light years ahead of every other sport when it comes to hiring at different levels and stuff. So, you know, whoever wants to take a chance on Becky Hammon, God bless you, go for it. But it won't be because she's talking, it's because she's the one they think is most qualified.
Right, but Mike, here's the, this is where I go back again with the Wizards. You know, my thing is that you're in a market, you're in the capital of the United States, for Christ's sake. I mean, you have rich history and tradition there, but they have funneled it. So Ted DeAnce, by the way, I'm resigning with Brett. They got more fanfare by resigning an old, broken-down Russian than what they did with the basketball. They had, you know, a little one, but for Westbrook to okay to get up out of that for 1 year, that tells you right there how the function this organization is.
What's crazy?
I know they're trying to clean their ass up.
You know what, Reg, the crazy thing about the Wizards, and I don't mean to turn this into a Met rehab thing, but it's sort of like the mental history. They're, for some reason, they don't respect, but most importantly, they're afraid of their own history.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. Because they've got a clear identity crisis. But see, again, this could be all the more impetus why Unsell will do okay. Because see, let's take this. He knows the deal with this franchise. Every owner,
yes, he does.
He knows where they've been, and he knows if everything is done right. Cause see, here's the thing.
Yeah, he knows where the bones are.
Put it this way: you have to give them credit in this instance. 3-4 years ago, it was okay. Who are we going to turn the team over to? John Wall or Bradley Beal?
Yeah.
So on the surface, they made the right choice right now.
I think John Wall just got hurt again, didn't he?
I'm not sure, but I know. But this way, the only person that whines a little more than him is Keith Sweat, and Keith Sweat hasn't had a basketball in his hand. That being said, I would like to think that
Keith Sweat.
I would like to think that the Unsell hiring is sort of a smokescreen to Bradley saying, "We want you here," and they've got it now. Now they've got to try to make it so that he's their guy, because they clearly have said.
Yeah,
okay,
he signed that max deal.
That's rock solid, because sometimes in an organization you have players. You know, if you keep one guy, you're going to get something out of him. If you let one go and they go somewhere else, they may come back to bite you in the ass. I think what the Wizards are doing with Bradley Beal,
seen that too many times,
it's important, because every team has to have a nucleus, especially if you haven't been successful. So you decided one or two guys we're going to keep, and we're going to either get lucky through the draft, or somebody's going to find that they want to come to Washington because it's where they want to be, and now you got a squad. So it seems like Washington has decided that Bradley Beal is someone they want to keep.
Hey, Mike, I'm so happy finally they didn't draft a foreign player. I couldn't believe it. I said, because, you know, that former GM, that clown from We Got Your Knicks.
And the New York Knicks.
Calm down, G.
For the first time in years, I did not sit down and watch the NBA draft the other night.
You didn't say Spike Lee in his orange and blue standing down the chair getting all that camera time?
You know what? I'm gonna recuse myself from money.
Anytime a Knicks fan come up on stage dressed in Laker gear, that's blasphemy. I still can't get over that.
To quote Dave Chappelle, I'm pleading the fifth. F-I-F.
I heard it there. He probably had a fifth when he was cheap a fifth, but I digress.
Yeah.
Oh, God. This is great material, guys. I can keep writing up. Tony had a fifth when he was cheap a fifth. Okay.
All I'll say is you either hang out with the help or you just go the hell home, one way or the other. You can't.
When
all of a sudden they win 5-6 in a row, all of a sudden, I've always been a fan. No, the fuck?
New York.
Mike, I've had 7-year-olds come up against me and say, your team sucks. I've had to endure that for the last
and they were right. Yes. Yes, but you know,
the only thing that kept me from slapping the shit out of the kid was that he was right, and plus the fact his mama was standing there, so, you know, I don't want to go to jail.
We got to ask the question, how did the ratings match up for Phoenix, Milwaukee? And what kind of numbers did they draw compared to the other?
It wasn't good, Mike. It wasn't good.
Lowest ones since the pre-Jordan era.
That's right. Yeah. It wasn't good.
I kind of disagree with that. Because, number one, look at the different apparatus people watch games on there. And that's been going
sports. But here's the thing. All the games were on network TV.
I know.
The NBA
I watched it on my phone, my damn stuff, when I was in the
truck. Sure. I get it.
So I don't know how they calculate those numbers.
Well, let's put it this way. It is different now because you know what throws off the whole skewing thing. Because, see, during the football season, the NFL, when the first Thursday night game comes on, undoubtedly they're going to tell you, one of the most watched Thursday night games in the history of Thursday night. But, see, here's the thing. Okay, hold on. Yeah, the game's going to be on NBC.
That's right.
It's also, you know,
that's the truth.
Some games also going to be on Amazon Prime. They're also going to be on NFL Network.
And Pluto.
And also, they're piping the games in. I think they do them live now over in Europe. I don't think they do very few tickets. I know they still
They do. They solved that problem a long time ago. They used to
highlight
package.
It's
2 hours. Now they deal with real time.
The thing about the NBA, while the NBA does the same thing, the NBA still, when they do their ratings, they deal with just the network. And see, since the NBA Finals, all the games are always on network television. And to be honest with you, I thought they were going to be worse, but pre-Jordan, that's actually not too bad, but considering where they were, say, 5 years ago when Cleveland and Golden State went to a seventh game, because people forget. Yeah. That game 7 was a 4:30, a 6 o'clock start. It wasn't done on prime time. It was like a late afternoon, early evening.
You're right.
That was a West Coast game because it was played in Oakland.
That number was pretty high. I think the number was a 30 or something like that. And that was pretty high, again, for a quote-unquote non-Jordan, non-Lakers, non-Celtic, non-whatever final. So, now the fact that they did not have, the fact that they did not have two major markets had a lot to do with it. And also, to piggyback on what Eric said, you still had folks who were, quote-unquote, not crazy about the, quote-unquote, woke NBA. But see, my thing.
But the fact that there were multiple, the fact that there were multiple streaming sources.
See, the West Coast, the East Coast would get live. We had tape delay. We didn't get the 3 hours later.
Yeah, I remember those tape. I remember those tape delay games.
And see, you know, let's face it. There's still a faction of folks that still play the. You got to have a good team in L.A., New York,
Boston.
And see, that's been proven wrong on so many levels. With the exception of the Shaq and Kobe years and last year's bubble, look. The Knicks, the Knicks finally caught up with at least the rest of the East Coast basketball-wise.
Right.
And the thing is, the whole thing that skewered everything this year was Atlanta, because everybody handed the title to Brooklyn before a game was even played. This was even before they added Harden. So there was an expectation level of I'll put it this way. Milwaukee and Phoenix were looked upon as contenders, but they weren't looked upon. If someone had told you last year this time, the finals next year is going to be Milwaukee and Phoenix, you would have said, what size do you wear? What size?
That's true.
You're
right about the jacket.
Hey, but see, I want to throw something in the pot if I could. Okay, when you look at the different games that were played and everything, this is what kind of jumps off at me. Number one, COVID-19, had I do it, and Kyrie Irving, because Reggie Jackson made an excellent point, even though he's the best baseball player, he said, this is the analogy. Kyrie Irving kept coming in and out of the season, playing and not playing, taking days off. Now, we all know, we play sports, when you get in that 90-mile-an-hour train and the players are at that high level, I think it's no coincidence that him and Harden both broke down in the playoffs, because Harden, we knew, was out of shape. And every time we looked, they had those key injuries, and that's what slowed them down. Even Durant, was coming off a major injury. So unless this team gets Geritol or gets some kind of elixir in their body, I don't see, and also their coaching staff got shook up already because D'Antoni is not coming back. I don't know who's going to take his seat. And Nash is not the great coach everybody wants to be.
Well, remember, the thing that I said about Brooklyn going into the year was, to me, the pressure was never on Durant. To me, the pressure was on Kyrie. The pressure was always going to be on Nash, because Nash had to put this together. And Nash was a neophyte coach. Now, here's the thing. I think this is a fair question. If you have somebody else coaching the Nets, or more experienced coach with the Nets, they lose the game 7 at home? Like that?
I think so. Especially when you didn't call a timeout. And Durant was spent.
Put it this way, I'll say this, and I just said this about the Lakers. For their big three to work, you've got to get 70 games out of the three of them. At the very least, all three of them have got to get 70 games for that to work. If you get like one plays 60 and one plays 50 and one plays 70, I think it's going to be good. And also, a lot's going to have to do with who that supporting cast is going to be. And that's also true. Because remember, the people forget, LeBron's first year there, it was a mess. And plus, he was hurt. So it played a lot. And now he's older, LeBron's a little bit older, and now Russell has got some tread on his tires as well. See, we all know in the NBA you get that 3 to 5 year window to win. But see, because they're older, that windows is shut even more. Maybe almost a 2 to 3 year window. And considering that no Golden State's going to be better because they get the other Splash Brother back, for the most part, Phoenix is still going to be there because, let's face it, other than Mr. Other than
they grew up.
Run a drinking buddy, they're a young team.
Yep,
and
they grew
up. And, wait, at some point, Utah is going to take it to the next level. At some point, Denver is going to take it to the
yep.
next level. You know, the
key injuries out the way.
The West Coast is a bear. All the Lakers have done now. All the Lakers have done now on paper is say, okay, now we may not have to play into the play-in tournament.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Depending on how the way.
What are you going to do with the Golden State Warriors when they have Clay Thompson returning? I think this is going to be a majority book in the West.
Well, put it this way.
No, you know what? I think what will happen here is that the Lakers will be motivated, so motivated, because the most motivated will be one of their star players. It'll be Westbrook. The Brow has his title. He's got his chip.
I think all three.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll all be motivated, but I think Westbrook more than all of them. And he seems to be a high-energy guy who wants to play well and plays hard every game. One thing I don't think anyone can ever say is that Russell Westbrook does it, and that's why Skip Bayless was a poisonous punk when he said the shit that he did.
I think the biggest myth with West is that he just cares about his numbers. I don't get. See, you got to remember, it wasn't that, you know, it's been a long drink of water between finals trips for him. And remember, you got to remember, that OKC team that got to the finals, that's been almost 10 years ago now. Now, remember, he had a chance to get back there, and then he hurt his knee. And you know, OKC was never quite the same. You know, once they traded Harden and all the other stuff, OKC was never quite the same. Now, this is going to be his third attempt now to try to get back to the finals with a different team. It didn't work out with Houston.
Yeah. That's
Denver
right.
didn't work out with D.C. So now he's, quote-unquote, coming home. Now, coming home can be a real cool thing, but sometimes coming home can be a damn death wish.
You're right.
That's true.
So
you're right.
Just on a pure basketball level, the Lakers have gotten interest at the very, very least. And if they're able to add some decent pieces and these guys are able to play together, it could be interesting. Because, see, to me, I'm sort of like what Gary said. I think the guy to me that I would look out for the Warriors, it's not so much Steph, because you know what you're going to get with him. You know what Thompson's going to come out with.
Right.
And you know, if Draymond ever stops, you know, talking, you know what you're going to get out of him as well.
Right.
Good luck on that,
Chief.
Right.
To me, the wild card for them is Weissman. I think Weissman's going to be a beast. I think Weissman on the surface could be the next great true center in the league. I can put it this way. I want to see them and Phoenix the first time next year, because Weissman will have had a year in, and you already know what the other guy with Aiden has already done. So to me, that could be a nice little center rivalry where they're going to play each other bunch of times during the regular season, and they'll go up.
Weissman is going to be the key to the Warriors disaster failure.
Absolutely.
Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if the Warriors make a run for Bradley Beal.
Well, put this way. I hope for the Wizards' sake they say no, and because, see, like I said, I think. Whether they want to admit to it or not, hiring Wes Unseld Jr. was basically saying, we want you. We want you.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't be surprised if behind the scenes they said, who would you like to see coach? I'd like to see Wes go.
Yeah.
And I think they capitulated. I think, you know.
I agree with that.
We'll see.
Like I said, Cade Young cares more about his hockey team than he does his basketball team. He's proved that.
You know what? Welcome to the club, because we got a fat-ass, non-singing MF-er that deals the same way.
would that be the owner of the Knicks there, T, for 2000?
Put it this way.
You know
he's a little too fat. All I'll say is he's a little too fat and too short to be called Spike Lee. I'll just say that.
Hey, T, Navarre Bergeron line two with the double daily.
Well, you know what? Kumpa Kinte notwithstanding, the NBA has put itself in a glamorous position. They are now very marketable, because this one season, teams that we didn't even hear about being on the radar outside of New York or Los Angeles played well. You know, some teams who were supposed to play well came up short, Philly. But the bottom line is the NBA has a league.
Is that a shot being taken there, Mike?
There's a league here where almost every team has market value. And that's a big difference from 10 years ago. You know, you had around four teams. The NBA has made itself more marketable, which means more money, more streaming. That's right. Now, having said that, G, give us a preview of what we're going to get at the top of the hour with the Cove.
We're going to continue with the Simone Biles thing.
Mm-hmm.
What did Simone Biles do this week? I'm lost.
And also, there's a guy who is disabled lawmaker who went on an airplane this week with a gun. He did not get arrested. He did not get fined. He went back to his state with no penalty at all.
Wow.
This guy is a young disabled Republican.
Oh, say no more.
And fellas, I am not a happy giver.
I hear you.
Drink some water, G.
Gary, you're never a happy camper.
Hey, Gary, I got Yoga and Boo Boo online too. Hey, we got to take that for you, Gary.
I mean, what's it going to take for you to be a happy camper? Smokey the Bear coming around and giving you a hug? Or, I mean,
this guy openly defied the gun rule or anything.
Let me guess, he's white.
You can't do that.
Yeah, he's white.
But
there we go on Sunday. The mini box will be the super supreme.
All right, Big G.
The Supreme.
On the music box,
Sunday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. And, of course, afterwards, the music therapy live stream will be in effect.
We'll be on vacation in August.
No, G. No,
again?
I forbid you.
Again?
No, I forbid you.
Again?
I forbid you. No. We got to have our code. No, you cannot go on vacation. No. How dare you?
I know. Gary, could you at least have the ghost of Joan Rivers host the show?
I thought Gary was going to get Bill Cosby to host this show, but, you know.
You better not drink anything Bill has. Don't drink nothing.
Last I checked, he is available. That's exactly why I thought that.
Yes.
And more ways than one.
We gotta get back on WCLM, man.
Nah, hey, WCLM is out there with you in California.
They brought a man from California to buy our station out. You know how bad they want to get rid of us.
Mm. All right, so again, at the top of the hour, the Grave at the Cove, more discourse regarding Simone Biles and handicapped politicians behaving badly on airplanes. The Grave at the Cove music box.
No,
we'll have that
no,
and
no.
The Supremes on Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Yes.
For a hot minute there, I thought you were talking about Maury or Steve Wilkos there for a quick
minute.
Oh, God.
But no. So having said all
that
of that, you know, the last topic that Gary was talking about at the beginning of this show, refresh our memory, Gary, before you leave, but he has left. I know you were talking about Simone, Russell Westbrook, and I can't remember what the third story was, but it was related.
Was it sports related?
Yes.
Didn't have to do with Cleveland's new nickname, was it?
No, it didn't have to do with the Guardians, but yes, bring that up, G.
Was it football?
Yes, it was football related. Because apparently Texas and Oklahoma have applied for entry into SEC for 2025.
And officially,
$85 million.
They've officially been given a, for lack of a better word, an offer sheet by the SEC saying, you know, basically welcome aboard.
Think about
an
offer sheet.
Guys, the ECN had to go on record and say we were not involved in any kind of shenanigans that would cause the eruption of the
Big
Ten.
We reported it. The
wink, wink.
Right.
A cease and desist order on ESPN. I'm like, good luck with that, man.
No. What a mess.
Yeah.
But, yes, I mean, the SEC is big enough as it is for them to draw this kind of extra weight and go from the Southeastern Conference to the Southwestern Conference and drag two of their iconic teams out of there. Well, we talk about the money all the time. Yeah, we talk about the money all the time, but come on, this is crazy money. It's monopoly money. That's exactly right. And monopoly is what it's about. Because you got 16 teams in the conference and you got 12 spots for the tournament, they're going to say by divine right, at least half of those spots should be owned by us.
Yep.
Yeah, at some point, it may not be.
They're chipping away.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm crazy. I think at some point it can almost come back and backfire on you, in a sense. I would hope so
in all actuality, because the greed is obvious.
Well, see, if nothing else, maybe these other quote-unquote mid-major conferences or whatever game a little bit. Because, see, here's the thing. All the, you know, the I guess it's, what is it, it's 10 conferences in Division I-A football and, of course, you know, a handful independent led by the Catholics from Illinois, otherwise known as Notre Dame. And as you asked the MEAC thing, how did Notre Dame take the MEAC's offer, or is it up in the air?
This is Dr. On line two, Thompson of the MEAC. We're still waiting for that call, but hopefully that call's a call.
I'll make sure. I'll have my people talk to their people so their people can talk to his people.
Hey, last time I checked, they told the MEAC, don't call us, we won't call you.
We'll call you, yeah. And if they do call collect.
Yeah.
You had a text call from
a prisoner, 91874, on line two.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, this was way. It all, you know, on the surface, it does look like that they're pulling the Amazon move in the sense where they want to rule the world. But
yes,
it can.
I would agree.
I would think. I would 10 going after Notre Dame, or because see, I guess the wild card here is going to be Notre Dame, because
Notre Dame feels like they can do anything they want.
Yeah, but I think at some point they do have to join a conference, and I know people will be like, "Well, why do they?" It's a legitimate asking point, but
because they don't have enough talent, they know that. You're right. They're going to have to go to a conference. Which one is up to whoever decides to make that decision.
Yeah, and you know, when they agree to hang out with the ACC, and like I said, I specifically say it just like that because they're not trying to be. We're just going to hang out for a little bit. You know, it's sort of like, you know, they're spending like a weekend at Bernie's. In the ACC, basically, but yeah, the thing is, the reputation for whatever it's gone. It's a myth. You know, they are literally in the midst of getting by on their name, and you know, they still get these, you know, receiving votes for the preseason polls, and then by mid-season, we come to find out, you know, they may not really be as good as we thought. No, really?
Yeah.
You know, what gave you that idea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty much a done deal. I want to see, I want to see how the Big 12 is going to react to it. Not now. If what their president is doing, if this is going to be a precedent, then I'm like, okay, he's definitely going to do the whining little bitch aspect of it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
At some point, they've got to be like, okay, who do we replace him with?
Yeah. But the better question might be, Reggie, why does anybody think the MEAC is going to succeed in spite of the fact that they only have a limited number of teams left? Has anybody been knocking on their door saying the MEAC should, like, scrap everything and start over?
Off the record, and I do mean off the record, a lot of people seem to think that Dell State is the one that might be the next to lead.
Oh, man. They're talking about another team leaving now? Oh, man.
Yeah, they're talking about Delaware State. Because, look, I was told by a reliable source that allegedly, don't want to get sued, that the athletic director up there wants to get out of the MEAC and wants to move to another conference. Never mind, he's a European,
What conference, out of curiosity?
I think they went up there in Pennsylvania or somewhere. There's another conference that's close to the schools up there. They said that they're looking at, it's a D1. It's one of those ones up there. Of course, they're not going to go to the one where Delaware is because financially they couldn't even handle the resources because that better budget is so low. That's why they told Harvey.
That's why they told Harvey
that Hanson couldn't get in when they were trying to get in the conference in Richmond. Them because that letter budget is too
small to get up to that level.
But see, Dell State Stadium is always going to be the icebreaker for them because there's Division II schools that have better facilities than them, and for at least for football.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, they had a whole lot of upgrade. Oh, and guys, I'm here to report that found at Hubby Field, the Industrial Field of Virginia Union, not only has a new football field, but found they got new stands for the visitors. So people won't be falling through the stands no more and have a potential labor lawsuit. So it took 100 years, but thank God the stands have found it been fixed.
They can afford to upgrade now because numbers are going to be
on
their
side. They might not have a season this year.
That's right.
The numbers keep going up. They might not have no season.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Hey, look, they got a brand new field named after Hall of Fame Willie Lanier, and new stadium, new seats, but nobody to play in. It's so like the HBCU.
Wow.
Well, I would think that now, is it a thing of vaccinated or non-vaccinated players or?
I think it's saying that leadership in the CIAA is terrified about a major liability suit if they have a major outbreak. Me personally, if you don't,
they should be
have people in the stands. I'm like this. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Nobody in the stands play. They can go ahead and watch the game on TV. This is the time your marketing probably said they need to get out there and get some games on TV. At least the people can watch it. Hell, they can tailgate outside the game. They ain't got to come in.
Reggie, you can do
a lot of things to do something.
But you know what? It still will change if someone somewhere at a game succumbs from COVID. And it doesn't matter which conference it is, whether it be the biggest money conference, four or five families, it'll be a smaller conference, it doesn't matter. As soon as that death registers, everything.
All hell gonna break loose.
The old song says everything must change. It has to.
And the numbers
if they're so greedy
up,
that they think they can get away with it, it won't work. We're talking about a sea of dead bodies. And let's remember, you know, none of the leagues are exempt from this. Major League Baseball is still playing right now. Now, whatever they've done to supposedly make it easier for fans to access, we don't know if that plays down there in Atlanta or in Georgia, where they've had major problems with vaccinations or lack of, or people deciding to not wear masks. You know, there are still parts of the country that are dragging their feet on this. And there are still parts of the country where the COVID numbers have gone back the fuck up.
Yes,
now,
I'm here. I'm here where I'm at here in Connecticut. Yes, they're definitely like they're already they're bringing. They're going to apparently Vermont is talking about doing the whole travel restrictions again.
This is what I'm concerned about. If COVID is going to hang around like in-laws, there's no long-term plan to deal with it. So say you get vaccinated, all right? Your vaccination is good, but for how long? You know, and if you're vaccinated, do you get a card to take with you that says Reggie has been vaccinated and whatnot, and so he can go anywhere pretty much because he's had his shots, literally. How long is that going to last? Because while you're going around thinking you're okay because you had your shots, there are other parts of the country where the numbers are spiraling back up again because folks either got lazy or they didn't give a fuck to begin with. Or there's some asshole non-vaxxer who was going to be a problem no matter what the situation was. Because we know we got a few of those around.
And the odds
of somebody dying increase exponentially.
And see, you know, as quiet as it's kept, that's a big thing going on in the NFL now. And see, now teams are in camp. You know, as of every NFL team is in camp. Now, so far, no one has tested, as far as we know, no one has officially tested positive yet. Now, I don't know, guys. It is. Yeah. You gotta be a W. It's gotta be a capital Y, a capital E, and a capital T in regards to that.
Shit.
Now, next week, you got the first preseason game,
All-Star game,
on the other side, on the other side of the country.
Well, you know, Zach won't be playing with that broken wing he got.
Matter of fact, the Toronto Blue Jays played their first home game at the Rogers Center in almost 2 years last night. Coming back. So we're still, you know, whether we want to admit it or not, we're still. It's not quite as bad as it was last year at this time, but to a certain extent, we're still sort of where we're at. You know, it's not, we didn't get better, we didn't get worse.
Mm-hmm.
The sad thing is we're sort of like, you know, that mid-level, you know, and I don't know, you know, I would think that that's probably not good, especially with all the vaccination. You know,
no, it's not good.
I've taken both of the shots, and I do have my card in case somebody, you know, if I have to, you know, but see, I still wear a mask when I go.
I do too.
I've got my card as well.
Same here. I still wear a mask too.
I think unless you're somebody that just doesn't, you know, that still thinks it's a hoax.
I wanted to see who was going to file court papers to sue somebody because that asshole Trump said it was a hoax, and somebody died because they believed Trump. And then when that motherfucker died, it wasn't a hoax anymore, was it? But I haven't come up yet. But I would contend that there may be something like that permeating through the legal system.
Well, the funny thing is now remember, Eric Adell basically said there will be full houses this year, and don't forget it. But they're sort of taking a back step on that because there's a faction of players in the NFL that have basically said, you know, I'm not going to get vaccinated. And also, unlike last year, they're not going to push back games for a team. If you ain't got enough, if you ain't got an active bunch of guys out there, guess what?
Yep.
You're going to force it. And now we've seen that. Now, I guess some of the college leagues have said that as well. But as much as I'm looking forward to seeing HBCUs, you know, play this year, it's still up in the air. It's still really
I doubt we will see a forfeit because the greedy bastards in the NFL made sure some way, fashion, or form that a game was going to be played in their entire history. Last season was the first season where there was a football game on every motherfucking day of the week. And we know many of these were because of cancellations or movements of games due to COVID. So the NFL has made it clear, we're going to make us fuck y'all. If you're not wearing your mask and washing your ass and your hands and all the other shit, we're going to make ours with or without you. They've made alignments in their structure as far as the teams and the people who will be on those teams for those very reasons. If this COVID thing stands pat as it does right now, there will be more players put on injured list or injury due to disease or COVID, whatever you want to call it. There will be a need for players. They'll be taking players off the streets if it really gets bad, because nobody will want that forfeit, because that forfeit will represent millions of dollars. The gamblers have taken this thing over. They can't afford to allow to not go because FanDuel and was the other fucking one. They're ruling this. Yeah, DraftKings. They're ruling this thing. They've got to have the underground money steadily working. So, in addition to FanDuel and DraftKings, all the bookies will be trying to do business. All the underground money will be trying to do business. All the fantasy football folks will be trying to do business. But it'll be a bigger fantasy if they believe that they can get through an entire season without somebody being taken out by COVID. Think about the odds on shit like that.
Well, so far, like I said, it's very, very early because, you know, camps have only been open for a little over, you know, they opened, you know, about technically Dallas and Pittsburgh opened early because they're playing the first game. But now, as of today, all teams are in camp now.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, as of right now, what are we, it's like 3:45 Eastern time on the 31st. As of right now, I haven't seen anything where a player or players have tested. Now, I know the Yankees went through their little bit of protocol a few weeks back with Judge and everybody else. There hasn't been a thing with the fans so far in Major League Baseball. The attendance has been, you know, whatever. I know, Mets attendance has spiked ever since. They basically, you know, they have a vaccinated area and a non-vaccinated area for fans. And I think I don't think that's the thing with a lot of the parks. I know, again, it depends on where you're at. Because the opening day, Texas Rangers opened up the park and they had a full house. Now, they've only had 12 people come to the game since then because they basically grabbed last place and anybody take it away from them, but that's a whole other issue. But the fact that Toronto
know, they give Canada credit. They stuck to their guns even up to the Stanley Cup final. They still only let a handful of teams in. During Montreal's, you're right.
They've been consistent, Tony. They've been consistent at the border as well. Everyone thought that the border would be open because of, today, this would be BC Day in British Columbia. Every province has, like, a special day recognizing what have you. So the weekend would be part of that revenue-generating stream. And Canada has not done that. And because they haven't done that, it's hurt them, but it's also helped them relegate control of the virus to certain areas. They were able to get on with the Stanley Cup playoffs and everything else without a hitch. And now that Toronto is back, it will be interesting to see if the surgeons or the resurgence of baseball is still there for the fans.
It's definitely a to be continued thing, especially and see can gather. And again, I'm no expert. I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV or radio or the internet. But I think that the key is going to be when the weather changes. Now, right now, they're taking advantage of the warm weather. The warm weather has been whatever. But once we get past tomorrow's August the 1st, so.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get into September and October, that'll be the key. But you got to get to there because a lot can happen between now. A lot can happen by the end of the week. Especially now that the teams are in camp, and now in a sense there is back to a quote unquote normalcy baseball wise because everyone's traveling to see.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie,
you're near a camp down there in the D.C. area. Have they given
Richmond,
you word
Virginia,
yet?
Man. The
Have they
Ghost
given you word
here.
Yet? Have
no,
they
the
given
Brady
you word yet
here
on
front,
whether or not they're allowing fans to come to the camp?
Yeah. Oh, can you hear me, Mike?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yeah, like I said, they've been front and center, man. I mean, they got fan day and everything. Program signing jerseys, kissing babies. I mean, it's full force.
Mm-hmm.
They even got people down here volunteering their time to work the camp.
Hmm.
It's wide open.
Business as usual so far in the NFL.
Yep. Our dumbass governor down here is slow with the mask restrictions. They tell you all you need to know.
Can you travel
around
Virginia now, Reggie, without a mask and nobody will say anything?
Hell, I wear masks and they look at me like I'm crazy.
Really?
Yeah, I go in grocery store, people are looking at me like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
The
Tony,
workers
what
are
about
wearing
you?
Masks inside the stores, but
everybody
else is not wearing.
Well, earlier this week, Governor Lamont basically said because of the, they're already saying even if you are vaccinated, you still need to wear a mask. I still wear when I go to the store or whatever. The only time I don't wear my mask is when I'm home or riding in my car. For the most part. I mean, basically, if I'm going somewhere, I usually wear it. Now I had a brief strain of it earlier in the year, and I was able to get. Luckily, I didn't get the fatal one. I got it through someone at work because we were this way. When we actually, my other job, when COVID first hit, we were sent home, then in late August, early September, we were brought back, and through the beginning of this year, we were still working from home. We were still working at the facility. And then I got sick the end of January, early February, and it was funny because it was a weekend. I wasn't feeling well, and I said,
know what, let me, just for my own whatever, let me go get tested. I told my boss, and she basically said, okay, when you get your, you know, stay out till you get your results. That was on a Monday. Now, she calls me the next day and said, oh, by the way, somebody tested positive here, so we're going to be closing it down for the time being. Now, subsequently, everyone's working from home now. From this, actually closed our. It's a little premature, but I, you know, again, I'm not just, you know, I'm not running the show. So you know, I mean, me personally, I can't stand working from home, but it is what it is. It is, you know, to me, you know, I literally had to go to another room because I didn't want to be distracted into watching TV or what have you, and trying to work as well. But I mean, there's so many. The thing I think that people forget is that there are a lot of people that have still been displaced work-wise. Because of this. Now, look, I consider myself very, very lucky. I was able to work through the pandemic, so I'm very, very grateful. There are some folks that haven't been, there are people that lost their job and are still out of work. So
I believe
when you hear these assholes in Congress saying people are just sitting at home trying to get a paycheck, he's like, you know, no, if anybody's sitting on their asses, it's those fat cats and fat women.
Hello.
You know,
that's true.
There's people that are trying to damn work. And, you know, everybody doesn't want to work at McDonald's or Amazon or what have you. But that's a 2-hour conversation in and of itself.
At least a 2-hour conversation.
It's weird, though, how, in a sense, nothing's been gained, or, you know, we're still sort of like in limbo a year later.
You're right. There's
now,
still more questions than answers.
Yeah. Well, now, if you look at it through the sports angle, things are, you know, the fact that the NBA and NBA, the NHL and NBA were able to finish their season. The fact that there's an Olympics, allegedly, still going on.
Right.
The fact that, you know, baseball for the most part has gone off without too much of a hitch, and that NFL teams are on time and in camp and are less than a week away from playing their first game. The fact that the CFL is back, is going to be back a week from now.
That's right. They're back this weekend, next weekend. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The fact that there is somewhat some normalcy is good, but it's literally like, you know, so,
I know what you're saying. You're right, because it's so-called normalcy born out of reaction to everything. How have we adjusted? Did we adjust well enough to foster this normalcy, or at least this illusion of normalcy? Because right now, the weather's nice, you know, for the most part. And everybody's thinking like, okay, we can move forward a little bit. But it gets countered by idiots in Florida and Georgia thinking you got a problem if you've got a mask on. And that spreads to other states and other mindsets. And overall, there's nothing uniform that says, there's across-the-board policy that if everybody does this, then this will happen. That has not happened, and it's not going to happen until
sadly, somebody
dies from this bullshit.
Yeah, and see, I think fundamentally the states, and to a certain extent because there's a different administration in now, no one wants to force it. They're basically saying, look, If you don't want to wear the mask, at least get vaccinated. But you've got folks that are being defiant all for the wrong reasons. They don't want to wear a mask, and they don't want to be vaccinated. Now, to me, you can't have both.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do both. To me, no. To me, I think, look, full disclosure, I was very skeptical about getting vaccinated. I was very, very skeptical about getting vaccinated. But my brother, you know, my brother who did not catch any of this, he went and got both of them done. And then I went, and subsequently my sister has as well. And I felt like, you know what, I actually had the thing, so I probably owe it to myself and the other. And see, what's so funny, see, here's the thing. The whole thing about the mask, it's not about you. It's about everybody else, because you don't know who else may or may not have it. That's the thing. But the fact that you know, the fact that you've got basically these white supremacists that are basically, you know, like, you know, their shit doesn't stink, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started on that.
I mean, they're being like petulant children. And to be honest with you, the Petulant Children Union is probably saying, don't lump us in with them motherfuckers.
That's right. We ain't got nothing to do with them motherfuckers. But Tony, you're right. Gary was talking about how polio hit and how it affected people in the early 50s.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to be told. Basically, these motherfuckers don't want to be told what to do. That's something that's very white, though. You know,
ironically, when white kids started dropping dead, then all of a sudden, that vaccine may not be a bad idea.
Exactly. But they didn't say, yeah, we need the vaccine. It was like, yeah, they came around to it just like that. Well, you know, we might need this, you know, because that was their what you want moment. No, that was not their what you want. I stand corrected. It was their what you got moment. Because what you got was a bunch of motherfuckers burying kids because their arrogance allowed them to carry the day. So I don't know when that other moment will hit us, but it's in the mindset of everybody, and it is on its way. Any last words before we go to the code, T?
In my heart, I want to say that we have progressed a little bit, but I think in a sense we're still in a little bit of a holding pattern. Maybe the only difference is we have a little more information and we have a little bit more of awareness to it, I suppose.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is we're still sort of in limbo. And like I said, as much as I'm looking forward to all this year on its conventional time, I don't know. The football fan in me wants to definitely see it. But if there's going to be if these kids are being put in harm's way, I mean, I don't need to see somebody die just to watch some ball, you know?
Right. Shoot. I tell you, it's a lot to swallow, but yes. This is stuff that we are going to take over to the Cove and see where all of this goes. So for everybody out there, again, the Cove at 4 o'clock, Gary Norris Gray in the house, 646-727-3649, 646-727-3649. We'll see you there. Musically, Sunday, Diana Ross and the Supremes on the Music Box, followed by another edition of the Music Therapy Mindstream. For myself, for T-Mac, for G, for Reggie, for everybody else, everybody go safe, stay safe, be safe. We will see you on the other side of the hour at the Great Leopard Cove. Ciao for now.